This is a very special chapel in my eyes. These are two guys who are brilliant in their own right. They had a slip up when they chose me as a friend, but that's okay. But I've heard this testimony before, and you may have read about it, but it's an amazing story. So this is Dr. Greg Hatteberg on my far left, alumni director at DTS here, adjunct professor for family ministries. He is the co-author of The Christian Traveler's Guide to the Holy Land, which is this book if you haven't seen it. And the new printing comes out today, so you want to get your hands on that, particularly if you're planning or have gone to the Holy Land. Terrific book. And then just to my immediate left, we have Dr. Stephen Bramer. He's the chair and professor of the Bible X department here at DTS. And he's also the author, and I'm glad to get my hands on this book. This is the Bible Reader's Joke Book, and that's no joke. So you'll want to get your hands on this book as well. These two books pretty much summarize their relationship. They laugh, and they go to Israel together. So there you have it. So I'm going to ask a few questions, and you guys just have fun with this because it is a time of rejoicing. Greg, I'll begin with you. How long have you known Stephen, and how did you meet, and what sort of relationship do you have, and that includes Israel and teaching, and the depth of the friendship?
Well, before I say anything, I want you to know how much I love this man. But... No, I love Bramer, so Bramer, Dr. Bramer, Stephen, I don't know what I'm supposed to call you, but Your Highness. But actually, we both came to the seminary in 1984. I came as a student, as a THM, and he came as a PhD. But we never met because, you know, PhDs just don't mess with a lowlife. And so I didn't really meet him much then. But then again, later, I was still here at the seminary, and then he came back to teach. And that's when we, about 25 years ago, and when we really, the Lord just put us together. He is a precious, precious brother. We met through teaching the Israel class together. Charlie Dyer and I had done it for a number of years and together. And then Charlie went to Moody Bible Institute, and then so they wanted to teach the Israel class. And, you know, since I didn't have the big boy degree, they had to put me with someone that did, and so Stephen and I taught the Israel class together. And since that time, you know, we have just had a great, great relationship of accountability and being together. And Lord knows he's high maintenance, so I help out with that.
Stephen, let me move to you next. Tell us briefly about your family.
I've got a wonderful wife, Sharon. She's sitting here in the front row. Thank you for coming, sweetheart. I've got three children and 10 grandchildren. My son, Joshua, is a graduate from DTS and is a missionary, teaches at a small Bible college in Hungary. Just love my family. Just love my family.
Amen. Greg, your turn. Tell us about your family, about Lisa,
yep.
About how long you were married.
Lisa and I, yep, we met and got married 43 years ago, but 4 years after we were married in our first semester here at Dallas Theological Seminary, we found out that Lisa had MS. And then so Lisa had MS for 34 years, and the Lord just blessed me so greatly with her. She went home to be with the Lord 5 years ago, so she is enjoying His presence and in no suffering at all. And but the Lord has just blessed me beyond all measure. But before she left, she gave me four grandchildren, and I have five great grandchildren, and so or grandchildren, not great grandchildren, but grandchildren.
You are old.
Yeah. And so we have just been blessed, blessed beyond all measure.
Stephen, what caused you to know that you needed a second kidney transplant?
Well, you know, back in 1987, I received my first kidney transplant. My kidney function was down to 6%. I was quite ill at the time. My three brothers and three sisters and mom and dad all volunteered. And my sister, who had just had a new little baby, weaned that little baby, Eleanor Ann, and she gave me her kidney. And just last year, I noticed that I was getting a little tired, and things were not going well. And so I went in and got some tests and discovered that I needed a new kidney. In fact, I was teaching over in Fort Worth for DTS when Baylor Hospital called me up and said, you know, you need a new kidney because of your levels. And so that started in January to look for someone to give me their kidney.
So tell us a little bit more about the process.
Well, my brothers and sisters all live up in Canada, so the doctors didn't want to use them because of a follow-up. My wife and my three children all have the wrong blood type to me, the children God after Sharon. And so I knew that I was going to need someone to give me a kidney. You know, it's not easy to ask someone to give you a kidney. You know, would you mind giving me part of your body? And so I didn't want to ask, and mentioned at our church that I was going to need a new kidney. Ended up having 20 people apply to Baylor Hospital to give me their kidneys, including a couple former students here at DTS. But the first person I actually told about needing kidney was Greg. We get together every 3 or 4 weeks and we have lunch together. And I looked at Greg and said, Greg, you need to know that it's time. I need a new kidney. Most kidneys last 12, maximum 20 years. My kidney from my sister lasted 32 years. And I said to Greg, I'm going to need a new kidney. He said, I'll give you mine. And I said, Greg, you got to understand, you need to be the right blood type, you need to be the right antibodies and tissue typing and all of that. And he just looked at me and said, I'll be giving you my kidney.
Well, he needed the right blood type. And, I mean, he didn't ask me. We were at lunch, and he wasn't looking too good. You know, he was, I said,
I never looked too good, but I must have been really bad that day. So.
That day, you were really bad. And I said, what's wrong? He says, well, my numbers are bad. And so then we talked about the kidney, and I says, well, I'll give you mine. And he says, but you got to be the right blood type. I says, well, what blood type are you? He says, well, I'm O negative. I said, that's okay. I'm O positive, which pretty much describes our personalities. But and I said, so what do you got to do? And he says, well, you got to go online, and you have to fill out the survey, and you have to, you know, answer all these questions. And so, you know, I said, well, I'll give you mine. And so I went online, filled out the survey, went all the way through, no problem. And I thought, well, this wasn't that hard, you know. And so so actually I found out that if you answer incorrectly, they just, you know, kick you out, you know, because – you know, they want to make sure it's a good match, and they want to make sure everything is correct. So actually, I went back.
Yeah, Greg's not very good at taking tests. Yeah. He gets a lot of things wrong, but.
So I went back and answered one of the questions wrong intentionally, and it said, sorry, you cannot participate. So I went back and corrected it. And so they went, and 2 days later, I mean, it was really quick. 2 days later, they contacted me and says, we would like for you to come in for some testing. And so for 9 hours, I was over at Baylor. I mean, they were taking blood out of everywhere, and they were taking CAT scans and MRIs and everything like that. And interesting, one of the things they, like, nine people interviewed, doctors, social workers, psychiatrists, psychologists, and they kept on asking me this one question over and over again. And the first lady says, now, have you ever thought of killing yourself? No, you know. And so then she asks a whole bunch of other questions. Second lady comes in. She said, "Well, we just wondered, have you ever, you know, thought of ending your life?" I said, "No." And so the third guy comes in, doctor comes in. He says, "Well, Greg, I need to ask us a few questions." I says, "Well, if you ask me if I need, if I'm going to kill myself, I'm going to jump out that window." we went through. But the Baylor, they're just phenomenal. They're just amazing transplant, and it's very, very extensive. And so we went through the whole thing and found out we were a match. I mean, he's Canadian. I'm Norwegian. How did that ever happen, you know?
Tell why they were asking you those questions.
Well,
tell why.
Because if you do it and then say the kidney goes bad, well, then what type of guilt would I feel? Or if he took it and then he goes down, his health goes down, how would I feel? And all those kind of things of, you know, what type of impact would it have, you know, that, well, man, my kidney wasn't good enough, or it didn't work, or he rejected it, which I wouldn't know why he would reject my kidney. But it's a psychological thing.
He's 68 years of age, he's Norwegian, and he's got a crazy beard. Why wouldn't it reject from a guy like that? So. And they kept asking Greg if I had promised him anything.
Oh. Yeah.
Because we worked together and we taught the class together, and so they kept wanting to know if I was giving him a promotion, which of course I wouldn't, if I had offered him any money, which I wouldn't, but they were just checking out to make sure that that he was giving it voluntarily.
So what was the answer when they said, well, what if Stephen dies? What'd you tell him? Do you remember? You told me that over lunch one day.
He's getting old, his memory's going a little bit here, so.
You better be careful of yours now.
You just go ahead and answer.
It was something like, he'll be with the Lord.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I said, you know. The operation and everything, you know, we just pray that it would all go well and everything. And when you have a perspective of, you know, an eternal perspective, then, you know, whatever the Lord does, the Lord does.
So you now have four kidneys, and Greg, you have one. That seems a little...
To whom much is given, much is required.
Yeah, I've got my two native kidneys in the back. They've shriveled up a little bit. I've got my sister's kidney over on the right-hand side. It's just working maybe a percent or two, and then Greg gave me his good kidney, and I put it in here on the left-hand side.
So if you had not received a kidney from anyone, if you just couldn't find a match... Then what?
I would be on the list, and it would take 4 to 5 years to find a cadaver, perhaps, that could give me a kidney. I'd be on dialysis. You know, the average person dialysis lasts about 5 years, and so it's not a very pleasant existence to have. So it wasn't that I was going to die immediately, but I certainly wouldn't have been able to carry on my life in the way I do.
And we have a former chaplain who is on dialysis.
Yes. Number of people have been dialysis, and I've had the opportunity to speak to a number of people about kidney donation as well.
See, and that was when I went in for all the testing, and then they came back and says, "Hey, everything is great," and I said, "Good." They said, "Except for one thing." I said, "Oh dear, what's that?" "Your BMI is too high." BMI? What is BMI? Your body mass index. You're saying I'm too fat. I can't give my kidney to him because I'm too fat. Well, you know, we have to have a certain body mass index, you know. And they said, you have to lose a little over 15 pounds. And so I said, well, does that mean he can't get it until I do it? I said, can't you just kind of push things around and, you know, take it? No, there's complications that could happen. So I says, well, he's getting down to about 11, 12% function. I says, what will happen? He says, well, he mentioned the dialysis. So at that point in time, he said, okay, we'll lose the 15, no problem. So I had to, there was 3 weeks there where everything I ate, you know, I had to kind of just say, do I want to enjoy tasting this, or do I want Bramer to die?
Guilt is a great motivation sometimes.
But no, but really, it was a type of thing where what I did was going to impact him. And you know, it really just hit me. You know, a lot of things that we do impact other people. It's just not ourselves.
Within 4 weeks, he had lost 15 pounds. They didn't believe it. So they asked him to come in a week later, and he had lost the 15 pounds. You might have put them back on, I'm not sure. But
I had to fill that space up with something.
So, Greg, what do your kids think about this? You've got kids, you've got grandkids, and here you are giving your kidney to somebody you're not related to.
Yeah, they, all along, you know, they were saying, "Hey, Dad, that's great." And I told them, I said, "Hey, I'm going to give my kidney to Bramer," and they said, "Okay, I guess he needs it," and okay, that's fine. Well, we went out on a weekend, a couple weekends before the operation, it's called Mama's Weekend. It's the weekend we kind of celebrate Lisa. All the kids and I go away, and they sat me down and says, "Dad, now really, why are you giving it to Bramer?" You know, I says, "Well, he's my brother." He says, "No, you have a brother. You know, he's not your brother." I said, no, you got to understand. You know, for years and years, we have eaten together and traveled together and prayed together. And he has been such an encouragement, given me more opportunities than I ever deserved. And he is just a close, close brother. And they said, "Well, Dad, we just want to make sure you're not doing something like you took care of Mom for all these years, and now do you just feel like you got to take care of somebody else, you know?" And I said, no. I said, he's my brother. And so who wouldn't do it for a brother?
And he is 65, and he is Norwegian, and
I was a little worried, but
yeah.
Anybody who offers you a kidney, you are thankful for them, you know?
Yeah. How is it different this go-round than the first time you had a kidney transplant?
You know, I had a kidney transplant 34 years ago. The technology was not all that great at that point in time. The medication wasn't all that great at that point in time. Increased hair growth and swollen gums and a number of other things. They've really perfected it in the past 35 years. Everything is different except my operation, and they just cut me about 10 inches down my abdomen, stick in the kidney, hook it up the blood supply, hook it up to my bladder, and let me go. We're in hospital for 3 days.
And didn't you pay a visit to Stephen when you were in the hospital after yeah. the operation?
Yeah, there's that picture before. The picture before.
He just wanted to be beside himself again. So.
The picture that you had before was when Bramer and I were going into the hospital at 5:30 in the morning. I said, "Bramer, I don't get up at 5:30. I love you a lot to get up at 5:30 to get in here." But when we were there, you know, he comes up to me, you know, and he's Mr. Bible Exposition, you know, and he says, "Greg," he just looks at me, he says, "Greg, John 15:13, you know, greater has no love than this, than one lay down his life for his friends." I said, "You're taking both of them?" You know, I didn't say you could take both of them, you know. So when we were in the hospital and we went through recovery and everything, you have to get up and walk around. They want you to walk around a lot, you know. And so we were walking and walking and walking. My surgery was a couple hours before his because they had to, you know, take it out. And so then I was up and walking around. The nurses wanted me to walk around So I went down hallway. I'm going down the hallway because you're still kind of loopy. From, you know, says, "I lost a kidney. Anybody here find a kidney? Where's it? Where's my kidney?" And so I go into Bramer's room, and I says, "Did you take my kidney?" I gave him a shirt that says "Kidney Thief." I walk in there and we just talk to the nurses, and I says, "Bramer," see, because we were on the transplant floor. You know, on the transplant floor over in Baylor, you have, you know, they transplant the pancreas and kidneys and uterus and livers and things like all kinds of, all the transplant patients are on that same floor. So I walk into Bramer's room. I said, Bramer, I talked to the nurses, and they said, got good news and I got bad news. The good news is the operation went flawless. The bad news is you got a uterus, you know.
You know, the operation is harder on the person who gives you the kidney than the person who receives the kidney. Your body has to adjust to some of that. All of a sudden, my body is clean. And Greg was in quite a bit of pain, and I was feeling bad for him, sort of. But he was in quite a bit of pain, but 3 days later, we were out. We were out.
Now, here's a question for each of you. What part did prayer play in all of this?
You know, we knew that it was going to have to be the Lord's working to make all of this successful. And so we asked for people to pray. And my home church began to pray. I was extremely, extremely thankful for them. But we started getting messages really from around the world, former students and people that we had ministered to. And my first transplant, I remember my sister looking at me and she said, Stephen, I'm all prayed up. I'm all prayed up. I don't even need to pray anymore. And we got to the point where I felt like we were all prayed up. People were just praying, and I just knew that whatever happened was going to be the Lord's will.
Greg?
I really didn't pray at all.
Oh, unspiritual.
No, I mean, it was like when you know it is something the Lord wants you to do, and it's, and what you need to do is right, then you just do it.
Yeah.
You don't pray about it. You just do it. And we prayed a lot, you know, during the process and before the process, and everything would go well. We are very fortunate in that, you know, I had no infections. Everything went fine. The surgeries went great. And so we were praying for the process and praying for the doctors and for the nurses and everything, and that the, you know, kidney wouldn't get rejected. But as far as praying about doing it, it was just like, why would you not? Because, you know, I love this man.
About 5% of kidneys reject in the first year. They've got medication to deal with that, but we've had no rejection whatsoever with this kidney. Very, very thankful. I was just in this past Wednesday and got a complete lab workup, and my kidney is just working as normal. It's the best that my numbers have been since the kidney transplant, and so I'm feeling great.
Amen. Greg, what was one of the most moving conversations you had while you were in the hospital?
Well, I was laying in bed, and then all of a sudden, this little guy, about 11 years old, comes walking into the room. And I'd heard about this little guy. His name was Holden. And he walks into the room. And as he walks into the room, he has this little box, and in this box is this blanket. And he brings it to me. He says, "Here's a blanket for you to use. This is a nice soft blanket that you can use while you're here in the hospital." And then, I mean, this little guy, blonde, soccer uniform, looks me straight in the eyes, and he says, "Thank you for giving me my grandpa back." And he gives me this blanket. And, you know, I think that is, of any of the things that I've learned through this whole process, you know, having the opportunity. See, just over Easter, I had all my grandkids and loved having my grandkids. For a minute there, I stopped, and I knew Bramer was also enjoying his grandkids. And I said, this makes it worth it all. Makes it worth it all.
What is the prognosis for each of you? You just gave a report, an update, but
Yeah, a transplanted kidney usually lasts between 12 and 20 years. So my first one was almost 32 and almost 33 years, which was unusual. The timing is in the Lord's hands. We often say with the Lord, numbers don't count, odds don't matter. The doctors can say whatever they want, but I just believe that my kidney will last me as long as the Lord wants me here and wants me healthy. If it lasts 32 years, I'll be 100 years of age, and I'll just retire at that point in time and not get another one. But yeah, we're just praying. But the prognosis is good, really good.
Yeah, they said, you know, because that was one of the things that I wanted to ask. I said, so what does it mean for me? And they said the quantity of life is great. Quality of life is great. It doesn't make any difference. And so, I mean, other than the C-section that they gave me, I mean, it was, I don't know any difference. You know, the thing is that, you know, all throughout the hospital, you know, Bramer's getting all this attention. You know, I mean, nurses are coming in, and doctors are coming in.
He's like a middle child. He always feels hard done by.
So for me, you know, it's just like they come in, you know, rip it, clip it, stitch it, and they send me on my way, you know. And doctor comes in a couple of days later and says, hey, I'm going on vacation. If anything falls out, just call the office. You know, and Bramer gets labs and calls and everything. But, you know, like I say, he is high maintenance.
Just out of pure curiosity, what about your H2O intake? I mean, how much water do you're included in that, Greg. Tell me about that.
Yeah, they said I just need to drink a lot more water, you know, just to keep things going, not have as much salt or sodium, you know, and just kind of watch, you know, your intake, you know, protein intake. But we were... You know, we were in Israel just a couple weeks ago, and no problems at all. You know, and I tell you that is the one thing. For me, the blessing of seeing Stephen when we were over with the IFL trip, and because many of you faculty were over there with us, that's been the blessing for me. Is that he wouldn't have been over in Israel if he hadn't had that kidney. Because he'd be on dialysis someplace. And for me to be able to feel like all the places that he speaks, all the places that he teaches, all the places that he goes, it's just been a real blessing for me to say, you know what, I've kind of had part of that. I've had part in his ministry in being able to do that. Things that I wouldn't be able to do, he is doing. And so it's just really been a blessing to see that.
How much water do you have to drink, Stephen?
I drink about 3 liters a day, usually. Try and get it done early in the day so that I don't have to get up and meditate at night. So, I can eat whatever I want. I can do whatever I want. There's no restrictions. Just make sure that this kidney continues to get flushed out. Your kidneys clean out your blood about 8 times a day. And so with just the one kidney, it just needs to make sure that blood keeps moving through the kidney and cleans out all of the junk.
How has this whole experience brought y'all even closer together?
Well, you know, it's pretty hard to be upset with the guy who gave you his kidney. I do contain spare parts.
I get a lot of lunches.
And recycled. He makes me pay for everything now. I just want you to know that. And I'm keeping track of how much, and when it gets to about $150,000, I'm saying I've paid for the kidney. And we just love each other. I'm not sure we spend necessarily more time together. We're in Israel together. In May, we're going to be with the students for 22 days, and then I'm going to take Greg over to Turkey for 7 days just to visit some places there. So we just enjoy each other, enjoy spending time with each other, text each other a lot, call each other.
What's the most important lesson, Greg, you've learned that the Lord has taught you through all of this?
You know, it's been an interesting time of just reflecting on what I mentioned earlier, of giving. You know, I know it sounds trite, it's better to give than to receive, but it has been an unbelievable blessing to be able to do that. There's a verse. I don't know if we have the verse. It is better for you to enter life with one eye and one kidney than to have two eyes and two kidneys and then to be cast into the eternal fire. And so that's been pretty much my life verse now. Actually, the verse that's been meant a lot, not only to me now, but to Lisa and I, as we continue to go through all the MS, is the Nahum 1:7. The Lord is good. I mean, you just got to think about that. Even through all of these situations, the difficulties that Stephen has had, all the troubles and sufferings, and Patrick, those songs that you sang beforehand were just amazing. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, because we all have difficult times. But He is the one, and He knows those who take refuge in Him. As we go to Him. And I know at different times I'll think, oh yeah, it was just, sure, I give him a kidney. But no, we need to go to Him in those difficult days. And He has just over and over impressed upon me that as long as we go to Him, He knows. He's there with us. When we were in Israel just a little bit ago, our pastor did the devotional on the Sea of Galilee. And of Jesus in the boat in the storm. And the phrase that he kept on using is, Jesus is in the boat. He's in the boat with you. Going through trials, he's in the boat. When it's difficult, he's in the boat. And he's with us. And so that's been one of the things that's just been precious.
Same question.
Choose your friends wisely. You may need a kidney someday. I'm thankful for what the Lord has taught me over the years in trying to serve Him, trying to study His Word. Oh God, from my youth, You've taught me. I accept the Lord Jesus Christ when I was 4 years of age. Thankful for that, thankful for how He's taught me. And I still want to proclaim Your wondrous deeds, even to old age and gray hairs. Oh God, don't forsake me. Don't leave me now until I proclaim Your might to another generation, Your power to all who come. I want to pour my life into my kids and grandkids, so leave a legacy there. And I'm very thankful to be able to teach here at Dallas Seminary. I thought about retiring before all of this, and I don't know how long I'll be here, when they'll kick me out. But until then, I'm going to keep trying to teach God's Word and let people know God is good. God's good. Doesn't matter what happens, God's good. And I'm thankful for the health that I have. Our pastor's going through cancer right now. He probably won't make it. And I don't know how to put all of that together. When God answers some prayers and He says to other people, I want you to go through this deep waters. But I just know that God is good. He is He's faithful, and I want to be faithful back.
I think that's a good place to land the plane. Let's show our appreciation to these men. Again, if you want to know more about the story, it's written up in the DTS magazine. And I'm going to ask you, Stephen Bramer, Dr. Bramer, if you will close us in prayer.
Father, each one of us here has received from You gifts that we didn't deserve. Your grace is great. Your mercy is great. Your goodness is wonderful. And Father, at this point in time, I want to thank You for giving me first and foremost a new heart. My sins forgiven. I can follow after You. And Father, I want to thank You for my brother Greg and for his love for me that was evidenced in giving me a kidney. Teach truth, but love well. And Father, thank You for allowing us this opportunity here at DTS to teach truth and to love well. And I pray that You would help each one of us as we go about our days to be thankful for what You have given us and to continue to serve You. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.